בעזרת השם, we are in the שיעור in ליקוטי מוהר"ן, תורה למד, 30th תורה in ליקוטי מוהר"ן, part 8, on the left side. We started to explain a little bit again. In the end of the Torah, usually Rabbeinu brings the Mishnah or the Gemara that he brought, and then he reviews on all of the Torah to show us how all of that wisdom that he was talking about is fits inside the small Mishnah, one verse that contains all of that wisdom that he was talking about. So, I'm going to read it a little bit again, a few lines. Haytu let Rabbi'i, they brought to him two eggs, two white eggs, to Rabbi Yoshua ben Hananiah. Leshon tzelota uva'uta b'chinot tefilot, an aspect of prayer and requests, aspects of prayers. Amre, and they asked him, Hei chivarta v'hei de'ukmata, which egg came from a white
chicken.
N. From a white N. And which came from a black N. Nice. Whatever you want, you can say in English, no one cares. N is like pen. Yes. Wonderful. Whatever you want. Cause gibberish, not English. So, means, Hainu, Shata Omer, that you're saying to us, Shal Yedei Tochacha, that by rebukes, Ma'alin et Hamalchut Kanal. Like that we explained it yesterday, that when the person being rebuked, and especially we're talking about rebukes from Hashem Yitbarach, and why we're saying especially rebukes by Hashem Yitbarach, can be a person that most of the rebukes that he's receiving is from his wife, someone else, that most of his rebukes is from his parents, or I don't know what, from his Yetzer Hara. Why we're saying rebukes from Hashem Yitbarach? Because we believe that there is nothing else except of Hashem Yitbarach. This is why when your wife, she's talking to you and rebukes you, it's actually Hashem Yitbarach that is talking to you. And when it's your Yetzer Hara, it's actually Hashem Yitbarach that wants to show you your lackings, that you're going to have the ability to work on yourself on that point that is important to Hashem Yitbarach, that you're going to work on it now. And if He will not going to wake you up to see that you have a certain lacking, how are you going to work on that thing that He wants you to pray on? How are you going to go down to deep to investigate on what you need to do tshuva and to clarify all of the details that connected to that issue and to pray on all of those things? By that rebuke, we are crowning Hashem Yitbarach. Means that by accepting the rebuke with love, le'ehov et ha'tochecha, le'ehov et ha'tochecha, that the person loves the rebuke, this is one of the terms that you can learn Torah, that you can understand the Torah. If you don't love to be rebuked, you cannot learn Torah. You cannot. There is so much lesson that you learn through the rebuke that you're going to miss all of that. Every bad comment, every rebuke, every something that someone going to tell you, you're not going to accept it, you lost a huge part of the Torah, and it won't be perfect, never. So by accepting it with love, means believing that it's all from Hashem Yitbarach, by that we're crowning Hashem Yitbarach, we're admitting, you're the King, you're the one that leads me, you're the one that brought me, you're the one that teaches me. Like we're saying in Atah Chonen LaAdam Da'at, that you're the one that gives me the wisdom. If you think that you can learn the wisdom by yourself, we're saying Chonenu Meitcha Chochma Bina V'Da'at. Give us the wisdom from you. Why you need to say give us the wisdom and then to mention from you? Chonenu Meitcha. Give it to us from you. When we said give it to us, it means from you. You're going to give. Means that it was in your hands and now you're handing it to us. So why we should say Meitcha? From you, that we're not going to forget that the wisdom that we received came from Him, from you. That we're always going to remember that every wisdom that we have, every success that we have in our lives, it's only from the kindness of Hashem Yitbarach. Only because that He is the one that gives the wisdom. This is why I have a certain wisdom. This is why I remember something. This is why I know something. Because You gave it to me. This is the most important thing that the person is going to understand. Like we said, and we learned yesterday, that everyone that mentioning from who he heard that thing, he's bringing the salvation to the world. How much it's important to mention the names of righteous people, to remember that it's not yours, that wisdom, you can give a shiur, you can teach, you can feel that you know, actually it doesn't belong to you at all. It's all coming from holy sources, that you have to remember those. And to be happy that Hashem is playing music during the shiur, that you're all going to remember that it's a mitzvah gdola, liot besimcha, to be happy. Learning out of sadness, it's not limud Torah. Torah or, kem chayenu, v'orich yamenu. Torah needs to illuminate our lives. Hello, איך אפשר להוכיח? And now they're asking him, how can you rebuke? You're saying that by rebuke, we're going to be able to crown Hashem. But how can you rebuke? כי הלא התפילות באים ביחד, because the prayers comes together. Of course, we learned how can you rebuke. We learned about it like that Rabbi Akiva said, that you cannot rebuke in this generation. So you don't have the obligation to rebuke others. This is great. But if now Hashem chose someone to rebuke you, you have to accept that, because it's Hashem Yitbarach that rebukes you. If you feel, if you think that it's your wife, that it's your boss, that it's your parents that rebukes you, or your Yetzirah, or I don't know what, you will never going to be able to crown Hashem. You will never going to be able to get over it, because you're always going to have a certain grudge, sorrow in your heart that she offended me, he was insulting me, he was hurting me, she was hurting me, and it will never going to be erased. Even if you're going to say mochel, 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 and even if you're really going to want to be mochel, to forgive, if it's going to come back again into your life, you're going to remember back. Again, you're going to remember, and it's all going to float back again into your life. So this is happening because you don't have a complete faith. But if you believe that all of the words of your wife, all of the words of your father, all of the words of your boss, all of the actions of your Yetzer Hara are all words of Hashem, you're not going to be insulted at all. You're not going to care about it. Adrabah, now you can love the rebuke. And you can love the one that rebukes you. And now you can look at her and to say, thank you. You're right. Without you, I would never fix myself. I'm such a liar that I would never stand on that point to admit that I'm a liar. I would plaster it again and again and again and again. And I would denial and denial and denial. And I wouldn't stand and admit that I have those horrible lackings without that strong rebuke, straight to the face, in the most sensitive places, in the worst time. You're right, it hurts. But why it hurts? Because you don't want to accept it. When David HaMelech been rebuked by Shimei ben Gera, that he was cursing him, klala nimretzet, a very strong curse, David HaMelech is saying, Hashem told him to curse. Hashem amar lo kalel, and he's moving on, he moves on, he doesn't care about it. And I asked once Rav Shalom, so why if he doesn't care, so on his deathbed, he's commanding his son Shlomo to kill Shimei ben Gera? Why? If you said that he forgot, what?
Halacha.
So why he's doing that if he doesn't care? If really he forgive, he forget, he doesn't care. So why he's commanding to kill him? So Rav Shalom told me that David HaMelech, as the righteous man of that generation, he had the responsibility to fix all souls of all Am Yisrael, of all of the world also. And he knew, after years that he was putting effort on fixing Shimei ben Gera to help him to do tshuva, he saw that he haven't done tshuva. And that there is no tikkun, there's going to be nothing that's going to be strong enough to help him. Except of death, that this is the only thing that's going to fix him. Because he was obligated to receive that punishment. There are things that a person can have in his life that's going to replace punishment of death. Like charity, like insultings, like rebukes, like a lot of other things that a person can have. Poverty that replace death. Fear can replace death. But if he didn't have those things and nothing replaced it for him, he have to die now. He have to die for his own benefit, for his eternal success. This was David HaMelech. So this is about the rebuke. But in our, in that Torah, Torah Lamed, Rabbeinu taught us, if you remember, that actually the righteous man, the leader of the generation, he is the one that rises up the prayers of all of Am Yisrael. Am Yisrael are praying, but everyone have his issues that are stopping his prayers from rising up straight to Hashem Yitbarach. Because while that he's praying on doing tshuva, he's also praying on BMW and apartments and new clothes and nonsense that are not worthy to rise up to Hashem Yitbarach in the same place. You can, in your same sentence, to pray on very important things, but you are contaminating them with crazy ideas that you have. Means that, for an example, a person can have horrible anger on someone, and that person never done nothing. And you are all wrong. You suspect him in something, and you're all angry, and you hang all of your issues and troubles on that poor person, and you can pray on him that something bad gonna happen to him. And it's because that you think that he is stopping you from doing tshuva. And you're gonna spend hours on hours imagining to yourself that you're praying on your tshuva. But actually you're just standing and cursing a Jew. And you don't know at all what is going on in your life and with him at all. You don't know what actually is bringing all of those insultings into your life. You don't know why he done something to you, why all of it happens to you in your life. You don't know nothing. And you're standing and blaming and you're angry and you're doing whatever you can do to kill that person with tefillot. And it's all wrong. And those are not honorable prayers at all. It doesn't fit that you're going to, that the righteous man is going to take those prayers and going to bring them to Hashem Yitbarach. It can wake up anger on you that you were praying on that in that way. And even if you're going to blame everyone now and that Hashem doesn't listen to your prayers and on and on and on. But the righteous man, Rabbeinu HaKadosh, and I heard it from Rav Shalom, he said that he's got the authority from Hashem Yitbarach to take your prayers and to use them even for something else that is better for you. Means that you can pray on something for 6 hours, and those 6 hours are all wrong. Don't worry, he's taking all of those 6 hours and building something else for you that is all right. Rabbeinu's got that authority, that permission from Hashem Yitbarach. I heard those amazing words from Rav Shalom last week on a very crooked 6 hours that I made. Baruch Hashem. So that you should know, I'm not rebuking you at all. I'm just waking up myself to serve Hashem with you together. Really? I once came to Rav Shalom and I shared with him that I made few times 6 hours on a certain subject. He looked at me, mamash, he shown to me that it was all wrong. All of the concept, all of the idea that I wanted to pray on, it's all good things, it's not bad things that I was praying on. But it's not the right thing to pray on. We can spend hours and hours and hours to pray on a house, for an example. And it's very good, and you need a house, and it's very important. But listen, maybe on a house, your prayers after 30 minutes already been accepted. And you have that house. Just there is a certain time that it should take, and it's for your own good. Because you want a certain house, and the people that lives there needs to live there another 5 months. So what do you want from them? And you want that house. You need that house. This is the house that you want. And you're now going to do another 6 hours on that, and another more tefillot, and more tefillot. It's already yours. You're just wasting your time and ruining your spirit, your neshama, your soul, your happiness, your joy, and you're falling into sadness, to frustration. Hashem is not listening to my prayers. They've already been accepted. Move on. Have confidence. So the righteous man, Rabbeinu HaKadosh, he's got that ability to take your prayers and to put them, to invest them in other issues, in things that you need. In Likutei Halachot, the book of Rabbi Natan, he's writing over there that sometimes a person wants to give pidyon, huge amounts of money, on a certain issue. For an example, that he's going to have boys. And he's going to the tzaddik, to the righteous man, and gives him the money. And the tzaddik now makes a pidyon on that. But that poor person looks 1 year, 2 years, and he doesn't have boys. what's going on? I made a pidyon. He is a righteous man. He's able to save me from all judgments. Why don't I have boys? Rabbi Nathan is saying, because now they saw that if now you're going to have boys, they're not going to be the boys that you want to have. You don't have that merit to have holy boys now. And it's going to damage you if you're going to have those boys that you, so to speak, you want. It's not the ones that you want. So, Rabbeinu, the tzaddik, he knows that you want righteous boys. What he's doing? He's taking that pidyon. And with that pidyon, with that money, he's making something else. What he's making? Ba'ale tshuva and gerim. He's bringing people to do tshuva and people to get closer to Judaism, to be part of Am Israel. And now you have that merit of bringing them closer into the Kedusha. And with that merit, that's going to take 1 year, 2 years to happen. With that merit, he's going to give you boys. And after 2 or 3 years, suddenly you're going to have a boy. And that boy is going to be born to this world in a pure way, with a lot of blessing, with a lot of merit, because suddenly his father brought 300 people to do tshuva, or 5, or 1. And that merit going to stand for that boy forever. And this is why you have to have simple faith on Hashem Yitbarach, to believe in him, and to throw all of our wisdoms, all of our will, selfish will, to drop it. Aser etzoncha kirtzono, cancel your will to his will, and make your will to be like his. And if it's hard for you, so talk about it with Hashem. Go to Hashem and tell him, listen, Bora Olam, for me it's so hard. I want that house and I want it immediately. And my wife, she's crying and we don't know what to do. And the kid's getting crazy in the house. And listen, Bora Olam, it's so hard for me. And so talk about it. And please, Ribono Shel Olam, help me to understand that you know better, that you know best. That maybe for me now it's not, put it in my heart. Let me realize that. Let me see that. Let me understand that. Not that I'm going to force you, Hashem, to listen to my voice. That you're going to give me the power to force myself to listen to your voice. That I'm going to surrender. Not you going to surrender. We're not coming to conquer Hashem. We're coming to surrender in front of Hashem. To let Hashem Yitbarach lead us in our lives. That He sees all of the picture and we cannot see nothing. We don't know nothing. We don't know the number of our shoes, we don't know. We don't know how much we weigh, we don't know. We don't know nothing. You know who are you? Do you know who are you? Yesterday night I was talking to a few family members, cousins, female cousins and an aunt of mine, who were sitting and we were talking together, and suddenly we were talking about my childhood. They were there. They could talk. Unfortunately. And I woke up to realize that I'm a case, that I'm a lunatic, that I have a lot of things that I've solved from my childhood. That mamash. My wife told me after that meeting, she told me, I think that every Thursday we need to Tuesday. Every Tuesday we need to have once a week the weekly appointment to talk. Yes, you know, what's going on, husband? Where are you holding? I have to admit, it's the truth. I have so many things from the divorce of my parents when I was so young. It made me crazy, and I thought that everyone that his parents been divorced feels like that, and it's all wrong. I took it to very dark places, and other people, they get over it in a lot of ways. It may be hard for everyone, for sure, but not everyone went to those awful places that I went to. So I need to check what's going on. Who am I? That huge question. Who am I? Really, who am I? How can I serve Hashem if I don't know who am I? It's the beginning, it's before the beginning. It's introductions. First of all, to know, who are you? Who am I? Who am I? Why it makes me so stressed? Why it makes me so crazy? Why it makes me so angry? Why it makes me so happy? What's the reason in it that makes me so happy, so excited to achieve that? What there is in it for me? Really, for me? Because actually there is nothing. Can someone else can walk close to it, will not going to be impressed at all. He doesn't care about it. You're not going to waste one moment to look at it. So what there is in it connected to me? Who am I? When actually you're going to do that task to find out who you are, you're going to find your neshama. And who is your neshama? Hashem. You're going to find Hashem. your task inside yourself, into you finding yourself, it's that task to find Hashem. Because you are your soul. You are your neshama. This is who that you are. You're not the body. The body is the prison. The body is the difficulties. The body is the curtains. The body is the walls that are stopping you from knowing yourself. But when you're going to recognize yourself, you're going to recognize that you're a neshama, that it's all good, that you're all good, that you've been created from Hashem Yitbarach Himself, like a drop of water that comes from the spring. That you are just part of Hashem, Chelek Eloka Mima'al, part of God from heaven, from above. This is who that we are. And for that, you need to sacrifice all of your physical being. Have to break your body. But we know that if you're going to fight with our bodies, the body can fight back. So it's not a big wisdom, big deal to try to give yourself a knockout, because you're going to lose everything. This is why you need to carve away slowly, slowly, by daily conversation, daily observation on yourself, daily requests from Hashem Yitbarach to give you the right eyes. And Hashem LaTzadikim, the eyes of Hashem, He's giving to the Tzadikim, to the righteous people. Righteous people have holy eyes that doesn't mislead them, that doesn't lie to them. It's written Mesakrot Enayim, and it's written with a Shin, Meshakrot Enayim. The eyes can lie to the person. If your eyes been defected, they're lying to you. Even in your observations, when you're doing Hitbodedut, and now you want to check, who really am I? What am I doing? What? You're going to see things in a very bad way, very crooked way. It's all going to be twisted. You're not going to recognize the truth in the beginning at all, very far from the truth. But you're going somewhere. But you're working on it. Not to wish for results. It's written, Lamavet Totzaot. Results are after death. After 120, you're going to see what you achieved. Don't wait to see, what have I achieved? Where am I holding? Forget it. You have a job? Work. Don't be lazy. Work. If really you're going to be wise, a person that understands, now they gave you time to collect diamonds. All right. A person that's going to be too excited and not logic, he's going to be impressed now from every diamond. Oh, look, and he's holding. Wow, look what I have. And he will not going to collect. Because he's going to be so anxious. To take that he's going to drop so many. But a logic person, a wise person, a calm person, gonna think about ways how to collect the most that he can. This is why Baal Tshuva doesn't have the time to look back, doesn't have the time to think, just to do more good, do more good, do more good. Another 1 hour in the field, bring her results. Another confession, bring his results. Another dance, brings his results. Another Limud HaTorah, another piece of Gemara, brings his results. And this is your wisdom, that you keep on walking and walking and walking and walking. This is how that we're going to conquer Zion, Jerusalem, Beit HaMikdash, Nase Aliyah, going to come to Jerusalem, to Eretz Israel. Just making another step, another progress, another effort, another word. Every mitzvah is bonding you to Hashem. Every word is an eternal connection to Hashem Yitbarach that you cannot separate, that you cannot break. Every mitzvah is eternal connection to Hashem that is unbreakable at all. Nothing can separate you and Hashem in the place that you've been connected. So what you have to do now? To connect yourself in another point, and in another point, and in another point, and in another point. And Rabbeinu said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will not gonna do that to me, to take one of my people before of his time. Means until that he's gonna complete all of his tikkun, and you don't know what is your tikkun. It's not to be a righteous man, to look like Harav, to be spending all of your life in front of Gemara, in the field in Itbodeduyot. You don't know what is your tikkun. Have to admit. Maybe you want your tikkun to be rich and wise and I don't know what and that everything. But maybe it's not your tikkun at all. Yonatan ben Uziel, he never got married. Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, he was 12 years in the cave. buried in the ground until his throat, his
neck.
Yosef HaTzadik was in the prison. Yaakov Avinu was gotten beaten when he was still in the stomach of his mother, for chased by his brother all of his life. Avraham Avinu had to fall into the fire and then to be in exile and to go and to look for Hashem. And Yitzchak Avinu had to suffer. And every one of the tzaddikim had to slaughter himself, to let himself, to sacrifice himself to Hashem Yitzbarach. Every one of the righteous people. The Baal Shem Tov. Can you imagine the arguments that was on the Baal Shem Tov? Rabbi Natan, people tried to kill him. The machloket on Rabbeinu HaKadosh. Two, three kids of him, or his died. Two boys and a girl of Rabbeinu, of Rabbi Nachman. We're blaming ourselves that because we're sinners, because that we're so bad, we have all our difficulties. It's all a lie of the Yetzirah to push you down to sadness. Well, let's compare. Okay, I have my difficulties. Rabbeinu had harder. So it means that he was worse than me? No, so it's not an issue to go on that path of judging and checking and thinking that you can understand something in your life. Or you should say in your stupid life. You cannot understand. Admit that your eyes are dark and that your mind and wisdom is lazy and not so sharp and strong. And that your heart is stuck with a lot of nonsense also. And your kidneys doesn't give you all of the advice that you should have from them, that you can have from them. And the machine is not working 100%. What can you do? But you should serve Hashem with that machine. And if you're going to dedicate your life serving Hashem Yitbarach with that body, with those difficulties, the honor, the respect, and the hakarat hatov, how much that Hashem going to respect you on what that you were doing, going to be a lot times more than if you would have a perfect body. Because to serve Hashem Yitbarach with a pure, perfect body, it's not a problem at all. Your body is not occupying you, it's not blocking you, it's not stopping you. But if now your body is making so many problems to you to serve Hashem, to wake up in the morning, you cannot. Start with that. You cannot wake up in the morning. First in Halakha, in Shulchan Aruch, need to wake up before of dawn. Sheyehu ma'orer tashachar. You have to wake up dawn. You have to wake up the morning. So you see that you have so many difficulties. You cannot wake up. You cannot pray like you should. You cannot eat like you should. You cannot talk like you should. You cannot read like you should. You cannot do nothing like you should. So what? It's you to blame. This is the body that Hashem gave you. Why are you blaming yourself in what that Hashem done? You chose that body. You remember yourself choosing a body? You never chose that body. Even your wife, when you choose your wife, you weren't choosing because you were not aware to who that you're choosing. You didn't know who she's going to be after the wedding. You don't know nothing. Even when you're choosing, you don't know what you're choosing. So why are you blaming yourself on your mistakes? Because it's not obvious to you that you're nothing. Because you imagine to yourself all of the time that you're something, that you were supposed to know better, that you were supposed to know, that you were supposed to think about it more, like that you have those abilities. You don't have them. You could waste more few years from your time, from your precious time, and not to choose a wife. And you're going to get married in 40, in 50, no problems. You can ruin your life more. Of course you could. But it wouldn't bring you to a better result. It wouldn't. Only by the simplicity of the holy, simple person from the Sipurei Maaseiot, that you're throwing everything on Hashem. Like David HaMelech, that is throwing everything on Hashem. He doesn't know nothing. He's saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Behemot Hayiti Imach, like animals I am when I'm with you. Like an animal. There is a shepherd. The animal, she doesn't know. It doesn't know nothing. Nothing in her life. And the shepherd, he leads her. And she's going after the shepherd. And this is what that we should do. Rav Shalom said, the biggest yetzirah of them all that a Jew can have is to imagine to himself that he should be a righteous man, that he should be the tzaddik. You think that you should be a tzaddik, by that you ruin your connection with the tzaddik that exists, that is already here. What do you want? You don't want him to be a tzaddik? He can help you. He can make you to be a tzaddik if you're just going to admit that he is tzaddik and you're not. If you're going to admit and going to surrender, going to say, I'm not And it's not so hard to see that we're not. Everyone. It's very cheap to buy a mirror. It's very cheap. And you can look at yourself and you see, I'm far from Kedusha, but there is someone that is close to Kedusha. So I'm going to make myself closer to him. I'm going to ask his advice. I'm going to listen to him. I'm going to try to keep his advice. And if I'm going to fall, I'm going to work on standing up again. It's not like I have a different choice. Like I don't like I have two options. I don't. There is two paths. One leads to life, one leads to death. This is it. So I have to attach myself to the one that I know that for sure is going in the right way. I have two options. Great. But I cannot choose both. I have to choose only one. So choose life. Choose life. What it means to choose life? To choose someone that can give you life. Someone that's going to revive you. Someone that's going to give you happiness and joy into your life. This is the one that you should choose. Someone that's going to wake you up to get closer to Hashem. Someone that will give you more will to pray, to do more tshuva. Someone that's going to give you the strength to stand up, to deal with life. This is the one that you should choose. And everyone that's going to ask himself, where can I find someone like that? You're going to find. Because if you're looking for the truth, Abali Taher Mesayin Lo, the one that wants to purify himself, they're helping him from heaven to find the right path. Like the people told that they were asking Hashem Yitbarach for help, suddenly, Garden of Faith fell into their hands. Suddenly, someone came to him, you know, there is that rabbi, there is this yeshiva, there is that book, the book changed my life. Suddenly it happens. Suddenly. Yesterday I made a phone call to one of my students that I'm in, outside from the yeshiva, and I told him, what's going on? He told me, thank you, Arav. He's looking, what do you want? I called to tell you to do an arid what they do today. Told me I have to tell you what happened just now. I told him, yes, please. He's fixing air conditions. He told me this morning, yesterday morning, he went to a certain test, a medical test. He went in that test. After it, he had three appointments. Three air conditions that he had to fix, to check, to put, I don't know. After he went out from that meeting, his partner told him that he already went to the first appointment and he doesn't need his help, so he had free time, 2 hours. He said to himself, I'm going to try to call to the second one. Called to the second one, he told me, I'm sorry, I won't be able to meet you even at 12 when we sat. Let's meet next week, Tuesday. Wonderful, have another 4 hours empty. And then he made a phone call to the third one, asking maybe he wants to make it earlier, he's got time. Told him, I'm sorry, yesterday someone else came and he already gave me the evaluation that I needed, the hatza'a, quote that he needed, and I'm sorry. And he said, and now I just started to go around with my car looking for something to do, and you're calling. You think that I'm going to have that courage not to do an arid bodedut now? So you can make an innocent phone call to a person to ask him what's going on with your Shahid Bodedut, and it fit into his life like a tailor-made, like a glove to his hand. Because you don't know what you're doing. And when you want to do something good, Hashem is sending that messenger to help you, to give you an advice, to provide you all of the tools and the things that you need to succeed in your life. And we should count on that. And to close our eyes and to keep on praying and to have confidence in Hashem Yitbarach and to pray and to ask and to talk to Him like we're talking to our best friend, like we talk to our best friend. So, thank you. Thank you for listening to me. So, they asked him, how can you say that by the rebuke you can crown Hashem? How can you rebuke? Because like we started to say, the righteous man, he's the one that is receiving all of the prayers. He's the one that receiving them and rising them to Hashem. And they're all coming together. Your prayers and his prayers and my prayers are all coming together to the tzaddik of the generation. And he needs now to learn from them how to rebuke you. Because he's going to meet you when he's praying. When he's praying, he's going to receive your tefillah. By your tefillah, he's going to realize who are you. He's going to understand really where you're holding. So now, the conclusion going to be that he have to rebuke you. So how he going to rebuke you if all of those prayers are coming together? How he going to recognize if it's your prayer or his? If it's your prayers or his? How he going to recognize? ואיך יודע להוכיח לפי התפילה? How he going to know how to rebuke by the prayers? כי אינו יודע, because he will not going to have the ability to know איזה תפילה של הקשר, or להפך, which תפילה came from the mouth of the kosher person and which from another. וזהו היי דחיברת והיי דהוקמתה. And this is what it's written over there, how he gonna tell which came from a white N and which came from a black N. אין עוד מלבדו. היינו, means, איזה תפילה מאיש כשר, או להיפוך, means which prayer came from a kosher person and which from another person. הייתי לאו תראה גבינה. So we answered to them, bring me two slices of cheese. This is the answer of Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananya to the wise guys of Athens. Hainu bechinot, it's an aspect of what it's written in Iov, v'chagvina takpieni, like a cheese, you gonna freeze me. Rabbeinu is saying, hainu bechinot tere torot hanal. It's an aspect of those two torot, Torot that we learned about them. We talked about the Torot, that there are two kinds of Torot. One Torah that is pure, and one Torah that is coming from side of Sitra Achra. And on that, Rabbeinu taught us on what it's written, Lo ta'ase lecha pesel u'masecha, how is it, pesel? Idol, don't make an idol to yourself. And on Moshe Rabbeinu's Torah, it's written, Pesol lecha, that you have to disqualify yourself, that first of all means to be humble. Pesol lecha, you want to have the Torah, you want to write the Torah, you have to disqualify yourself. You have to be not worthy. You have to understand that you're not worthy. When you're going to be humble, you're going to have the ability to bring down the Torah. So, or that you're making idols for yourself means you're idolizing yourself, that you're making to yourself, pesel u'masecha, that you're idolizing yourself, or that you're disqualifying yourself and you become to be humble. So, this is two kinds of Torah. She'en bechinat kafui vekal bechinat psolet, that it's an aspect of kafui vekal, that it's light, an aspect of psolet, how do you say psolet?
Waste.
Bivchinot, an aspect of what it's written, pesol lecha. Pesol lecha, uvichinot lo ta'ase lecha pesel kanal. So one aspect is to disqualify yourself, this is the pure Torah, and the other side is lo ta'ase lecha pesel. Don't make yourself an idol. Kanal, like we learned. Exactly what we said before on all of that subject of tshuva, that a person has to look for what Hashem wants from me, not what I want from Hashem. We're not using Hashem for our needs. Chas v'shalom. Ve'amar lehu, so he told him, he answered to them, hey de'ize chivarta ve'hey de'ize ukmeta. Now you're going to tell me, Rabbi Yoshua ben Hananya is saying to them, which cheese came from a white goat and which cheese came from a black goat. Can you tell? If you're going to tell me, I'm going to tell what it means. Hainu tere azut hanal. Means two kinds of holy brazenness. Azut, it's from the word ez. Iza, ez, this is brazenness. Brazenness, it means like two kinds of brazenness that there is. Shehen azut dikdusha. One of them, it's holy brazenness. That the person have the courage to go and to ask his rabbi for things and to go and to pray on things that other people are afraid to ask, to be holy, to be pure, to see only the good that I have in myself. People are afraid to do that. That I'm going to do a complete tshuva, that I'm going to be holy, that I'm going to be pure. People are afraid to make those prayers. People are afraid from that. They're afraid to deal with what is going to come up. One friend from the yeshiva, someone that is here longer time than me, he told me that his hitbodeduyot, he told me that last Motzei Shabbat, that his hitbodeduyot are very, very flat. and he doesn't have words to talk, and he's just spending 1 hour with Hashem every day. So I asked him why. He told me, because I'm afraid. A few times in my life I was investigating and I was doing tshuva very deep, and I found things that were very hard for me to deal with. And from that day, I'm just asking for things in the Buddha Diyot, and I'm not confronting, I'm not dealing. And you can understand that. It's very frightening. But why is it frightening? What is stopping the person from achieving what that he wants? The fact that he doesn't really want it until the end. This is the real answer. If really you want the truth, so it's going to hurt. So what? So it's going to hurt. Going to hurt a lot. So what? You want it or not? Sometimes it has to hurt. What can you do? This is how you should pay. Sometimes it hurts. And if you're not willing to pay, so it means that it's not so important to you. And it's in all terms, especially in tshuva. I don't remember on who we heard it, that he saw the people. He maybe the Gemara, one of the Tanaim, I don't remember, that he saw, he woke up in the morning, early in the morning, to, I think it was Rabbi Eliezer ben Orkanus, that one morning, we know all that he was about Tshuva, Rabbi Eliezer ben Orkanus, and that one morning he woke up early to go, it's written on him, on Rabbi Eliezer ben Orkanus, that he testified himself that no one, there was never that came to Beis Midrash before of him. He was there, the first one. And he never left someone in the Beit Midrash alone and went out. He was the last one to leave Beis Midrash. He testified that on himself. So, how it all happened, how he came to that, Baruch Maskir Nishkachot, thank you Hashem for reminding us things that we forgot. How it happened, how he came to that level, that one morning he woke up and he saw the sapanim, people that works on boats, on ships, sailors. He saw sailors bringing their equipment, their cargo up on the boats very early, mamash, in the middle of the night. And he said to himself, why they woke up so early? Because they want to make a little bit of money out of their effort. So if for money people are doing that, so I will not gonna wake up earlier even than them for serving Hashem Yitbarach. This is what that woke him up, to wake up every morning before time, before of everyone else in the street. So it all depends in your will. If really to wake up chatzot means that you have to go to sleep at 6, at 7, it's important to you, you're gonna make it. Even that now it looks the most farthest thing in the world for you to do tshuva shlema, to be holy, to close your eyes like that, like Rabbi Shmuel Shapira. He's got pictures that he was walking like that in Mea Shearim. Doesn't look nowhere. So what? You're going to bang a few walls, you. So what? Really, if it's important to you, you're going to do that. For $1 million, you're going to break that wall with your fingers, right? If there is $1 million behind that wall. But you're not valuating Shmirata Enaim important like $1 million a day. For $1 million a day, you will not gonna open your eyes. You know, alright, now, great, you're gonna be so happy. No test, it won't be a test for you, right? It's not gonna be a test. You're gonna have the smallest thought maybe to open your eyes. If you're gonna lose $1 million, you're not. Another 5 hours, it's a piece of cake for you. You know, $1 million are coming in a moment. Like that on Yaakov Avinu, it's written that the 7 years fly for him because of his love for Rachel, that he wanted to get married with her so much that he didn't pay attention to all of the time and all of the suffering that he had. 7 years just fly because he loved her so much. Means that if you want something really so much, you don't care. Few rebukes, it's nonsense. So people are saying, so what? You don't have money? So what? You don't have a house? So what? It's not a big deal. When it becomes to be a big deal, when you want that house, and you want to have honor and respect, and that no one's going to talk about you behind your back, and you just sit chasing after nonsense of this world. And you don't really care about Shmirat Ha'Enayim, and Limud HaTorah, and being close to Hashem, and completing your tshuva. But if it would be, first of all, beyond everything for you, it will not going to be even hard for you. This is why the main thing of tshuva is to clarify things for yourself, to understand why I'm going again and again to the same filthy places. Please, Ribono Shel Olam, let me understand. I'm praying on it for years. I'm putting so much effort. I'm learning Torah. Nothing helps. Maybe I'm not really into it. Maybe I'm not really after that thing. Maybe I need to do tshuva on the fact that I don't really care about Shmirat HaEmunah, about learning Torah Kedusha. This is that brazenness, holy brazenness, that a person is brazen to find the truth, to seek for the truth, no matter what. Only by that, Am Yisrael can receive the Torah. Only because that they are brazen. Rak mipenei she'en azin. This is that azut. She'en azut di kedusha, ve'azut de sitra achra. Azut de sitra achra, it's rude. That a person is rude. And he thinks that he deserves to progress in Avodat Hashem. Even in Avodat Hashem, it's wrong to be brazen in that way, to be rude. What's going on? I made 6 hours, I don't see the salvations, I've done 20 times 6 hours, Hashem is not listening to my prayers like you're worthy. Moshe Rabbeinu was doing 3 times, 40 days and nights, not eating, not drinking, on Mount Sinai. And how was the last prayer? Va'etchanan. He's begging for a free gift. This is how we should pray. Even after 40 days, 3 times, 120 days, not eating, not drinking. Is there something that you can sacrifice more than that? Gave everything, gave up on his life. He's not thinking he's going to die. So what? So I died while I was doing tshuva. So I died while I was praying to Hashem. Died while I tried to save Am Yisrael. So what happened? If really you know what's important, what is precious, that it's Am Yisrael, the souls of Am Yisrael. Like they said to Rabbi Milubavitch, they asked him, why are you standing on your legs so many hours while you're meeting people in your Kabbalat Kahal? He said, when you're counting diamonds, you're not getting tired. He was standing from sunrise till Tzeta Kochavim, till midnight, standing up on his legs when he was old and tired. And he wasn't getting tired. Why? Because he was counting diamonds. Diamonds are the souls of Jews that came to ask for his advice, to tell him Shalom Aleichem. He cannot be tired if you understand that those are souls. If you have something important in Avodat Hashem, you don't care about nothing at all. You don't think about it. Difficulty is great. Let's move on. It's all from Hashem. Just to wake me up to pray some more. Just to wake me up to realize that I cannot do it without prayers, without Hashem. Just that I'm going to grab a few more tools, few more information, that I'm going to succeed in my journey. I have to have skills. I have to be in shape. I have to be a warrior. I have to be real strong. So I have to practice. I have to learn how to fall. I need to learn how to fight. I need to learn how to learn. I need to learn how to pray. I need to learn how to do tshuva. How am I going to do it without those rebukes? If I'm blind now, if I'm a liar now, if I'm far from the truth and I'm not into it so much at all, how am I going to achieve it? So it's the kindness of Hashem Yitbarach that is rebuking you. It's the biggest gift of them all, that he stops you from success, because it will never going to be an internal success until you're going to surrender, until you're going to tell him it all depends on you and you can do whatever. I'm here for you. Rabbeinu is saying a person cannot serve Hashem Yitbarach like he should if he wants to have a share in the world to come, part to the world to come. If you still want to be over there, you care about what's going to be in the world to come, you cannot serve Hashem with a complete heart. To serve Hashem in a complete heart is that you don't care if you're going to have an eternal life or not. It's not your issue. It doesn't bother you. You don't care about it at all. You just love Hashem and you want to serve Him. And thank you very much for that. The reward of the mitzvah is the mitzvah itself. Thank you Hashem for letting me put tefillin. Thank you Hashem for bringing me to the Beit Midrash. Not what's going to happen with it. I don't care. Thank you. I'm just thanking you Hashem. Thank you that you're with me. And Hashem is with us always, always. So from those two kinds of brazens, from them, a person can have those two kinds of Torot, ulefia azut, and according to his brazenness, the righteous man can tell, can know, et hatfilot kanal, from who those prayers came from. He recognized the brazenness of the brazenness that have in that prayer, and by that he understand, realize who was the one that was praising, that was praying those tefillot. Shaliyadei ze yachol leochiach otam, and by that canal he can rebuke them, like we learned. Shaliyadei ze chotchin, that by that we're cutting, umavdilin, and dividing et bechinot amalchut, the aspect of kingship, umatzilin otam izakat moshel, and saving it from the screams of the governor, means from the difficulties of this world, that a person will not gonna scream and cry on his troubles, just you're cutting him from it. You're saving him from it. By that, you're giving him that wisdom to know that it's all Hashem, that it's all coming from Hashem. He is not suffering at all anymore. Uma'alinota, and rising it, that soul, each of us souls, lebchinot or apanim, to the aspect of the light of the face, the illuminating face of Hashem Yitbarach, ha'meir baregalim kanal, that illuminates in the holidays, like that we learned. Thank you very much.
Thank you.